and continue on the celebration of Easter. Why does it have to stop just because Easter's over with? Amen. We should continue to celebrate his life, celebrate his resurrection, celebrate him every day, you know, and putting him first in our life and letting him be God. So many times we let so many things get in our way of serving the Lord. You know, we need to get our focus on him, our attention on him, and let God be God of our life. Let him be Lord of our life, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situation, regardless of what's going on. Let God be Lord of your life. Let him be ruler. Let him be boss and our focus and our eyes on the Lord. And we can't go wrong there. Let's continue to celebrate Easter. We're going to be in Hebrews 13, and we're going to start with verses 20 and 21. And then God's laid upon our hearts several different places to turn to about celebrating and continue to celebrate Easter. But we'll start with Hebrews 13 and verse 20 and 21, celebrating the life of Jesus, his life and his ministry. And let's continue to celebrate that. I hope it's a celebration, as I said, year-round, not just once a year, not just celebrate his birth at Christmas, not just celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection of Easter, but, my friend, I hope it's truly something that we do 365 days a year, celebrating him, the one that died for us, the one that saved us, the one that healed us, the one that has been there for us, that we will continue to celebrate him in spirit and in truth. Will you go with me to the Lord in prayer? Father and our God, today, the Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our life, the Lord. And I thank you, God, that, you know, you are God, and beside you there is no other. Thank you that we serve a risen Savior, one that is alive, one that is well, not one that's still in a tomb somewhere, but God, you are alive and well, and you proved yourself, God. You showed yourself throughout many through the scripture, the Lord, of your resurrection. And God, we thank you that we serve a risen Savior. God, I pray today, the Lord, that you just bind up Satan, his demons, workers, the Lord, and opposition, get it out. The Lord is not welcome here. Let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in our hearts and our lives, the Lord. God, I pray that you'd open up our ears and open up our eyes and our heart and our mind. And God, bless us to see your word, read your word, receive your word, God, and apply your word to our life, the Lord, that when we walk out of this place, the Lord, that we can go into the mission field and we can share your love and your story and your life with others that we come in contact with, the Lord. And God, I pray that we truly will make you Lord of our life. And God, put you first place in all that we say and all that we do. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you hide us behind the cross of Calvary. God, that you'd speak through us, the Lord, use us to deliver your word in a great and mighty way. And God, I pray the anointing of the reading of your word. God, your word is precious, the Lord. And God, I do pray for the anointing of the reading of your word this morning. That God, as we open it up, when we read it, that your word would go forward, God. That it'll convict where it needs to convict. That it'll save where it needs to save. God, it'll reclaim where it needs to reclaim. And God, that it'll bring healing about each and every one of our lives. God, you know every person that's seated in this place today. God, you know what they're going through and you know what they have a need of. And God, I pray through the precious name of Jesus that you're anointing over them, the Lord, that each and every one of them, that God, that whatever they're searching for, that God, you will fulfill it today. And God, that you would be with them and let them know that you're real, God, and that you care and that you love them. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would again just bless the anointing of the reading of your word. God, we give you praise this morning. We love you. We praise you. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20 and 21 says this. It says, now the God of peace. We're looking for peace in our life. The world looks for peace in all kind of ways and all kind of directions and things of that nature. But the true peace that is in your life and my life that we need comes from the Lord himself. God can give that peace in our life. It says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. We're made perfect in every good work to do what? To do the Lord's will, to do his will, working where? In you, working in you, that which is well pleasing in the sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever and amen. When I see this, I thank the Lord. I thank God for the peace that can only come from him. I thank the Lord when you look back there that it was God that raised his son Jesus up from the dead. I thank the Lord that he is the great shepherd of the sheep. It is God that leads and guides, my friend, that is the shepherd that we have. The pastors and things of that nature fall under the the category as an under shepherd. But God is the great shepherd of all. God is the shepherd of the sheep and who we desire to follow. I thank the Lord through the blood of the everlasting covenant that's made you perfect in every good work, that makes us perfect to do what? To do His will. We are made in the image of God. We are made in the likeness of Him. It's not about you. It's not about I. He made us, my friend, to do His will, not our will, not my desire, not what I want to do. There's a lot of things that I would love to do, and I'm sure a lot of things you love to do. But God created us to be about the Father's business. God created us to do His will, not our will, that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. When I look at these verses of Scripture, and we're going to talk about celebrating Easter continuously. Number one, if you're taking notes, Easter means a haven of rest for the burden. Easter means a haven of rest before the burden. Listen, because Jesus carried our cross, my friends, He offers us the easy yoke. Jesus carried that burden for you and me. He carried whatever burden that you have, whatever you're under today, whatever is burdening you in your life. Understand, Jesus put it on the cross and He carried that burden for you and me. My friend, we need to give it to Him. We need to turn it over to Him. Lay our burden at the feet of the Lord and let God take control of our lives and our burdens. He tells us in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, He says this, He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I give you what? I give you rest." In Hebrews, when we read that, He said He'd give you peace. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is what? Light." And when I see that, my friend, I see when I look back at these verses of Scripture in 28, the first thing I see that registered in my mind, He says, "Come unto me." That is an invitation, my friend. Jesus is extending an invitation for you and me today. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter what's happening in life. Jesus is saying, "Come unto me." He's saying, "Come unto me." He's extending an invitation to you and I this morning. He's saying, "Come unto me." My friend, listen, there's no better person, no better person that you can come to other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's extending an invitation this morning to come unto Him. Come unto me. Not only that, but He says, if we come unto Him, He says, "I give you rest." That's a promise. Jesus said, if you would just come unto me, if you would accept my invitation and come unto me, He says, "I got a promise for you. I give you rest." You need rest, my friend? Give it to the Lord. He says, "Come unto me." My friend, is what He's saying. That's an invitation. And then He says, "I give you rest." That's a promise. You need rest, my friend? Come unto the Lord. Come to Jesus and you will find that rest that you have need of. Not only that, when I see that, I see also He says, "Learn of me." That's a source of comfort. He says, "Learn of me." He says, I am inviting you to come unto me. There's an invitation. He says, not only that, but "I give you rest." There's a promise from the Word of God. And then He says, "Learn of me." And there's a source, my friend, that you can tap into. That source of learning from the Lord. There's no other person better to learn from than to get in the Word of God. Open it up and learn of Him. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will direct you. He won't steer you wrong. One of my favorite verses of Scripture, and y'all know it by now, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. He says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." Come unto Him. He's inviting you today. The invitation goes out. Come unto me. Not only that, He says, but "I give you rest." He's offering a promise to every one of you in here today that if you'll just come unto Him, He'll give you rest. And then He says, "Learn of me." Learn of me. My friend, what a better source to learn from than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Will you come unto Him today? Will you seek His rest today? Will you learn of Him, my friend, today and see what He has to offer for your life and mine? He goes on to say in Hebrews 13, 5 through 6, He says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There's another promise that he gives you. He's inviting you to come unto me. My friend, the promise is that if you do, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, my friend, there's many times that through that process, my friend, I have a feeling that we've walked out on the Lord a lot. There's many a times, my friend, that we haven't been faithful, but there's never been a time that God hasn't been faithful. There's never been a time that God hasn't stood true to his promises. There's never been a time that God hadn't fulfilled what he said he was going to do, but we fail a lot, my friend. But you can never go wrong putting your trust in the Lord. You will never fail. He will never fail you. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He says, come unto me. There's an invitation, my friends. He says, come unto me. He said, I give you rest. There's a promise. He says, I never leave you nor forsake you. There's a promise. He says, learn of me. Get in God's word. Get in church. Get in whatever. Be faithful. You can't go wrong. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that they may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We have all had our burdens, and my friend, we have all found grace in the resurrection Savior. My friend, you want to find grace today, you can find grace in the Lord. In Hebrews 11:16, he says this, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. My friend, in this verse, God encouraged us to seek his grace. My friend, you go back and you understand so many times as he says, come unto me. He said, and I give you rest. Learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden light. He's going on to say, when he says in this, and I see that, and we find encouragement in his word, that God encourages us to seek his grace. We find more promises throughout the scripture in John 14, in verses 1 through 6, where Jesus says, he's going to prepare a place for you. He said, if he goes and prepares a place for you, that he will come again and receive you unto himself, that where he is, there you may be also. Promises through the word of God. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That place he's going to prepare for you and me is a place called heaven. It's a mansion up in the sky that he's prepared for us. And he says, and I go away and I prepare that. And he says, and I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a promise of the Lord, my friend. A promise. He says, I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The promises of God. My friends, we serve a living Savior. Easter means having the rest for the burden, my friends. I don't know what burden you're under. I don't know what you're under today, but you can find rest in a living Savior. You can find rest in the Lord if you're willing to come unto him, if you're willing to bring it to him. My friend, he says, that invitation, come unto me. My friend, he says, that promise, I give you rest. My friend, he says, learn of me. The source of God that we need to go to. My friend, there's none other than the word of God and the source of the living Lord and Savior that we should be a follower and abiding by. Come unto him. Oh, he's got something in store for us. Not only that, but if you're taking notes, when I look back, Easter means an entrance into happiness. My friend, so many people are seeking pleasures of this world in a quest for happiness. My friend, the pleasure of this world, it says you can find happiness in a little bit. There's a happiness and pleasure for a season, my friend, of the things of this world. But my friend, as soon as that pleasure runs out, you're going to be doom and gloom again. My friend, the true happiness comes from the Lord. The true satisfaction in life comes from him. Easter means entering into that happiness of the Lord. I will never forget the day that the Lord saved me. What about it? What about it, my friend? Never forget the day that God saved me and saved you. My friend, it is an exciting time. As I said, many seek pleasures of this world in quest for happiness. But in Hebrews 11:26, he says this, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto them of recompense of reward. He goes on, when I say think about happiness, I think about John 10:10. It says, Jesus, my friend, is the source of abundant life. Jesus is the source of happiness. You on a quest for happiness, you can find it in Jesus. He's the source of that abundant life. He says in John 10:10, the thief cometh but to steal and to kill and destroy. joy. But he says, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it what? More abundantly. Jesus is the source of happiness. Jesus wants to give you abundant life. My friend, the world will throw out things at you, and it might throw a bunch of lemons, but take those lemons and make lemonade. Amen. Oh, listen, the source of life comes from Jesus. The source of happiness comes from Him. He wants to bless you and me with abundant life, my friends. But we got to do our part and be a blessing back. We got to ask Him. We got to come unto Him. He's inviting us to come unto Him. If we do, He says, He said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He says He'll give us rest. That's promises. It says He goes and prepares a place for you. He'll come again and receive us unto Himself, that where we are, there He may be also. He gives us all those promises in His Word. Why can't we come unto Him? Why can't we come unto Him? Why can't we put Him first? Why can't we serve Him? My friend, let Him be Lord and ruler and reign in our hearts and our life where He deserves to be. He goes on to say in Isaiah 26:3. He goes on to say, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. My friend, as I said, if you want peace, God will establish that in your life. He says, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed on thee. My friend, as I said it, and I've said it 100 times, it's not about you. It's not about me. My friend, it's not about me worrying about what Miss Gloria is doing. It's not about me worrying about what Mr. Lee's doing. It's not about worrying about what James is doing, or worried about what Jerry's doing, or worried about what Chris is doing, or worried about this, or worried about that. You want peace and perfect peace? Then keep your mind stayed on Jesus. Amen. And if your mind stayed on Him, my friend, it'll be all right, because He what? Trusteth in thee. My friend, keep our mind stayed on the Lord, my friend, and keep our life in tune with Him and what's going on. Listen, I don't know about you, but I have a hard enough time keeping my life in line with the Lord. I don't need you trying to help me live it. Amen? Amen. What about you? You got a hard enough time keeping your mind stayed on the Lord too. You don't need somebody else pointing out your flaws, do you? Amen. Let's get our mind stayed on Jesus. Amen. And we'll be a lot better off, and there'll be a lot more people smiling and happy. Amen. Because they ain't got you barking down their neck trying to tell you how to live, and got a beam in their eye and trying to pull out the plank and the moat out of yours. Don't you just love it when it happens? Keep our mind stayed on one another. Keep our mind stayed on everybody else. Keep our mind stayed on who? Jesus. I know y'all think I'm whatever that guy is on WWF. Yes. Yeah. Keep your mind stayed on Jesus. Amen. I can't wait for somebody to break out and start doing Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hey, man, 500,000 people can say yes, yes, yes. Daniel Bryan is yes, the yes man. What about Jesus? Can't he be the yes man? Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. We can get excited about WWF. Listen, I can guarantee if I brought Daniel Bryan to Putnam County, everybody in the United States will try to come to Putnam County to see the yes man. Amen. What about Jesus? It's a shame, my friend, we can't get him in the church to talk about the Lord. Amen. You know, I was talking to some older folks, and I was talking to Brother Randall. I was talking to Brother Lou. I was talking to some of these folks in here that are elders. And they were recalling the days. And Brother James and Brother Lee were calling the days. And I say elder, the ones that's wiser than me, in their 70s or up. You know, and they were talking about the days that they used to walk 2 miles to church. In the snow, sleet, rain, whatever it was. Didn't have no transportation. Whatever. Some didn't have the horses and buggies to get them there. Some didn't have all that stuff. Walked up mountains, down the valleys, through the water to get to church. You know, and things of that nature. Back then, 2 miles wasn't nothing to walk, was it? Amen. But it's a shame today, Brother Lou, that we can't even get people to walk 5 foot out their door with enough initiative to get the keys out of the pocket to stick an initiative to crank the truck up to get to church. Malcolm's told me about their family walking 2 miles to church in the snow and the weather and the Carolinas and all that. But it's amazing today we can't get them to get the keys out of the pocket to walk 5 feet to put it in ignition and crank it up to get here. Amen. All you got to do from the front row to the back row is just turn around and look at the seats. Huh? Amen, old me. I love you enough to tell you about Jesus and the truth of God's word. It's up to you what you do with it. I can't live your life for you. Amen. But folks, in the old days, they had a love for the Lord. Had a love for Jesus. Things were simple. It might have took them 2 hours to get to church, and they might have had to walk 20 miles or whatever. But they did it. Why? Because they have a love for God. And they wanted to get there and be in a place of fellowship and worship with the Lord. But it's amazing today, we have all the amenities at our hands. We have everything at our exposure today, and we still can't make it. It's amazing to me. Amazing. God loves us. He desires more of us and out of us. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." Happiness and abundant life, my friend, are forfeited by disobedience and sin. You with me? Happiness and abundant life are forfeited by us because of disobedience and sin in our life. My friend, we get it right with the Lord, God will give you joy. God will give you happiness. God will give you abundant life. God will give you peace. God will take your burden and give you rest. God's invitation is, come unto me. My friend, come to him. And we have promises through his word what he would do in our lives and for our lives. Oh, listen, Peter, Thomas, and the other disciples lost their happiness through sin, but it was restored by the resurrection of Christ. It was restored by them asking God to restore their relationship to him, and he did so. In Romans 7:19, we see the battle raging in each of us to do the right thing, to have happiness, to do evil and unhappiness. The battle rages on in Romans 7:19. For the good that I would, what happens? I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I find myself what? Doing. Oh, listen. In Hebrews 13:8-9, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and day of forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is the good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have no profit to them that have been occupied therein. Listen, Jesus is unchangeable. Avoid strange doctrines. Establish yourself in Christ. That's what he wants us to do, my friend. Keep our mind stayed on him. Establish ourselves in Christ. Give it to him and let the Lord work in our lives, my friend. And if we did that, my friend, it didn't matter if our car was broke down or what happened. We would find a way to church. It didn't matter if we had to walk 2 miles. Mr. Lou, we'll find that way to walk 2 miles. We would find that way, Brother Randall, if we had to cross over a mountaintop and go through the valley and through a creek. We would get there, Brother James, Brother Lee. We would find a way if our minds and our hearts were stayed on Jesus. We were in tune with what the Lord wants to do. My friend, we would have the initiative to walk 10 feet out of our door, open it up and put the key in the ignition, crank it up and come to church. Amen? Amen? Oh, me. Oh, listen to me. God desires first place in our life. And can I tell you something? God will not bless America until America gets back to putting God first in their life. My friend, America is going to experience some awful things, some whoopings, some beatings, some tribulations, and some trials. And not only that, but I'm here to warn you, you will too. And I will too if we don't put God first in our lives. God has a way of getting your attention. God has a way of getting my attention. I've seen God at work, and I felt the hand of discipline of the Lord. And my friend, it didn't feel good. My friend, listen, God desires more from you and I. He desires our best. He gave the best he had to offer for us. Why can't we give the best in return? Amen? He didn't stop short of the cross. He could have. And if he would have, we'd all be dying and going to hell. But God didn't stop short of the cross. He went all the way. He went all the way because he loved you and he loved me enough to go. Oh, the joy of the Lord is our salvation. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strong tower. He tells us, my friend, if you want to have joy, you can have it in the Lord. Not only that, but number three, Easter means the way to salvation for the unsaved. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God provided the way of salvation? Aren't you glad that God provided a way for you and me to get saved? He tells us in John 3:16, the Son is the way to salvation. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Thank God for his son. Thank God for the way of salvation. Thank God that he seen that I was a sinner. He seen that we all were sinners in need of a Savior. And thank God that he sent his only begotten son to be that sin debt, to pay that price for you and me so that we can live a life eternally with him in a place called heaven. Thank the Lord for his son. Thank the Lord that through the Son we have the way of salvation. In Romans 10:9, we see that confessing and believing. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thank the Lord, my friend, it was the day when I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I asked him, God, I've made a mess of my life. God, the best way I know how, I invite Jesus to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of all the sins that I committed unto you, God. And he did, and he saved me, and I've never been the same, my friend. There's never been a time in my life where I wanted to walk away from Jesus. Never been a time in my life that I didn't want to be in church, serving the Lord regardless of circumstances and things that's going on, my friend. And if God has truly reached down and saved you and you recall that day, it would give you a desire, my friend, to want to be more like Christ. Give you a desire like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus when Jesus joined them in a conversation. And when he opened up their eyes and Jesus fled from them, he said, did not our hearts burn within us? Why he opened up the word? Why he taught the word to us? My friend, having a burning desire for the things of the Lord and seeing that, oh, if you believe he is living, you should confess him as your Savior, my friend. If you believe that we serve a risen Savior, we should confess that. In John 11:25, he says this, talking about the resurrection of life. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. In John 11:28, he goes on to say, he is come and he calleth for thee. The invitation is going out today. Jesus says, come unto me. And when she had said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and he calleth for thee. My friend, he is calling for you today. He says, come unto me. That is an invitation. He says, come unto me. I give you rest. That's peace. I give you life and more abundantly. That's promises of his word. Learn of me. That's the source that he gives us. He wants to have a relationship with you and me. Are we willing to come? He's calling us today. He said, and when she said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and he calleth for thee. Oh, my friend, the master is here today and he's calling for thee. What is he calling you about? What is he speaking to your heart about? What he's knocking at your heart's door about today? The invitation is there. Come unto me. He's calling your name just as he called out to Mary, just as he said, the master has come and he calleth for thee. My friend, the master is here. He's come. He's died. He's rose again. He's sending back to the Father, and the Holy Spirit is here today calling you. He's saying, come unto me. Come unto me. He's calling for thee. My friend, what about it? What are you going to do with the call? What are you going to do with the call? Oh, my friend, too many times people walk in the door and walk out the same way and never been changed. My friend, he's calling for you today. He's calling for a change in your life and my life today. He's calling for us. The master has come and he calleth for thee. Not only that, but Easter means a blockade to hell. My friend, in 2 Peter 3:9, it says this, God is not willing that any should perish. Oh, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, my friend, when I thought about that, I thought about the Lord doesn't want anybody to die and spend eternity in hell. My friend, he didn't prepare hell for mankind. He prepared hell for the devil and a third of the fallen angels. My friend, man will always be a stranger if he dies and goes to hell, because that's not God's intention for man. But my friend, because man sinned in the Garden of Eden, sin entered into humanity, and we're all born in sin and in need of a Savior. That's the reason God sent his Son. My friend, and all we have to do is confess our sins to him, invite him in our heart to be our Lord and Savior, and he does that. Oh, when I thought about that, I thought about if a person dies and goes to hell today, they had to pass through a sinless life of Christ. They had to pass by a sinless life of Christ. If a person dies and spends eternity in hell today, they have to go past Pilate's judgment hall. If a person dies and spends eternity in hell today, they had to walk right over the cross of Calvary somewhere. If a person dies and spends eternity in hell today, they have to go right by an open tomb that is empty because Jesus is not there. He's alive and well. Oh, if we die and go to hell today, we have to walk by right by Christians, right by the Word of God in the Bible, right by worship leaders and testimonies, my friend, and prayers of mothers and dads and things across the world. Because, my friend, listen, that's not God's design for man. God's design for man was to be in complete fellowship with the Lord, my friend, and spend eternity in a place called heaven with Him. Oh, listen to me. Man, if he dies without Christ and spends eternity in hell, he will always be a stranger in hell because hell was not created for mankind. It was created for the devil and a third of the fallen angels, my friend. But if we reject Christ as personal Lord and Savior, unfortunately, that's where we're going to spend eternity. And unfortunately, there are many people today that are stepping right over the blockades that are in place. Many people today that's climbing right over the hurdles that are in place to stop people from dying and going to hell because Jesus loves them. My friend, that's not his intention for us. His intention is for us to be in right relationship with him. Oh, not only that, but the last thing. Easter means a doorway to heaven. Easter means the doorway to heaven. In John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Oh, listen, Jesus spanned that mighty gulf between God and man by the way of the cross. By the way of the cross, my friends, listen to me. Let's celebrate Easter. Continue to celebrate his life. Continue to celebrate a risen Savior. He's saying, come unto me. He's saying, come unto me. The invitation is given. He's saying, come unto me. Come unto me. The promise is given and I give you rest. The promise is given, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The promise is given that if I go and prepare a place for you and I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The promise is given. The invitation says, come unto me. The promise is given, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The promise is given, I give you rest. The promise is given, I got a mansion in store for you. Oh, listen, the promise is given. And he says, learn. Learn of me. Oh, listen, my friend, he desires a relationship with you and I. He desires an intimate relationship with us that we make him Lord of our life.